This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Barbara Schneider. Today's date is November 4th, 2008. It is now 10:40 in the morning. This is being done as a demonstration interview in front of the North Suburban Needle Arts Guild. And Barbara, I want to thank you for doing this interview with me. And please tell me about the piece that you brought, which is titled A Ring of Days.
Well, A Ring of Days is a piece that I did when I first started to get into quilting. I had done a bit, mostly taking the traditional quilting classes, and had done some sample pieces. At the time, I was working as an executive for a publisher, and I had a really busy life. And my husband was also ill. He had just been diagnosed with cancer. And I felt like I didn't have time to really do quilting in a real sense of sitting down and doing projects. So I had seen an article by Nancy Halpern in probably Threads or one of those magazines, and where she had talked about doing a visual journal. And that really struck a chord with me, that this is something I could come home at the end of the day and just do one simple thing. So I set a goal for myself to do that with a template for the shape and the things that I wanted to accomplish by doing it, which were to really be more observant each day of what was happening in my environment, to do something creative each day, even if it was, you know, just go down and make my sketch. I felt it would give me a discipline to actually know that you could make some progress in small incremental steps. And it would be an opportunity to learn new techniques on a very small basis instead of thinking you had to do a much bigger project to accomplish that. So and when I couldn't do something, I had a notebook that I just carried with me that I could record things in about what I might do if I couldn't get to it that day, if I had meetings or was traveling. So that was the basic for it. It started March 1st, 1997, and ended February 28th, 1998, so it's been 10 years. And I pretty much finished it in that time. I had no actual idea about what it was going to become, the Spring of Days. I just kept making those pieces day after day after day. And after a while, I developed a few little templates. Like I did a lot of travel for my work, so I have a travel template. Can I walk over there, Mary?
Actually, no.
Perfect. Can't see one. So whenever I had travel, I had this template that was pointing north, south, east, west, however I ended up doing it, so I could gain a little bit of time for that. And there were some other format kinds of things, like I always did the full moon. And I would do it based on, like, there's the strawberry moon or the harvest moon or whatever they were, and try to develop something for those. It usually, some things had events, you know, and actually this is like the only year I can remember my life in any detail, because I can say, oh, that was when Ellen graduated from college. It tends to be events, techniques, trying new techniques. Like I had the book Jacket Jazz, and so there were a lot of surface techniques in there. Or that they were about nature, which is one of the things I learned toward the end of doing this, is that probably half of them had flowers or nature or leaves or water or things like that in them. And it really helped me to feel like I was making some amount of progress in my quilting life, my artist life. One of the great findings at the end of this was that there was next to nothing about my work. that I had been doing for 25 years, which was, that came together with a number of other things going on in my life, and then it said, you know, it's time to move on. And at the end of 97, I did. I retired from there and moved into a different role as a consultant. So that was really an observation that came out of this as well. The format that it became, this ring of days, was that once I had all these, undo this, all the blocks, was how I was going to put them together. And I tried out a number of things and ended up with finally having these strips. And then it became, well, you know, what are the ways you could do these strips? I had loops where they were just like continuous loops that you could hang on a rod. Or they could they be sewn together and make, you know, a huge piece. And one day it just became, I could put them on a ring like a giant windsock or like a Japanese boys banner kind of thing. And it all just sort of came together at that point. Then I had to figure out actually making the structure and, you know, how long was it really going to be? 16 feet, 16 or 18, and somewhere in between those two. Actually, a little side note to all that is that when you're using a little plastic template to cut after 365 times, it got a little smaller. So January of 98 is a little shorter than some of those other 31-day months. But that's okay. A story that goes along with it is in, and the reason I decided to bring this, not only about the fact that it had such an influence on my life at that point, and it captured my life at that point, I was attending IQI at that time, sporadically, and the first time I ever heard about fine art of fiber. And I submitted the forms and all that for to have this on display at Fine Art of Fiber in 1998. Well, I had never sent anything to an exhibit before that, so I pack up the whole thing, and I send it to Robbie Eklow, who gets this box and says, why have you sent me this? This was for the show. He says, well, you just submit the forms. I didn't even know at the time that you only submit the forms. I just sent her the whole thing. You know? And I do remember it hanging in the middle of the gallery space at the Fine Art of Fiber. That I see some heads going up and down out there. So it was quite an experience to actually have something out in public. And since then, I've done a lot of other exhibit stuff. And what comes out of this isn't so much that, it sent me off in the direction to start exploring really doing my own work, and it became much less traditional, much more contemporary in feel. And I realized that that whole nature base was really important to me. The dailiness factor sort of went away for a long time. And then last year, beginning of 2007, is it okay to segue into this? Which, shall we? Beginning of 2007 had been sort of the end of a long period in my life. My husband had died. I had sold our house. I had moved. I was still consulting and on the road. And again, I felt like it was time. I needed to make some change. One of the things that had helped me through his illness was that I could go down and work on my work and just disappear. And for those 2 years between the time he died and beginning of 2007, I had no interest. It was, if I went down there, I just couldn't get going on anything. So I thought it was 2007, and maybe if I revisited this idea of just going down and setting a small task for myself with slightly different parameters, that I could begin to work again. And that did work, and I have some samples of what came out of the 2007 version. It's the same idea with a little different format. So that's the history.
So how do you use this piece? Does it hang in your house?
It used to when I had a bigger house. It doesn't anymore.
So where
it
do
hasn't
you
been out. Where do I keep it? Rolled up in a bag in my quilt storage area.
So what are your plans for it?
Well, it was fun to have it out for this last week because I was looking at it again to try and, you know, kind of revisit. I didn't know what you would ask, so I was trying to be prepared for, you know, if I had to speak about specific blocks or anything. I don't have any plans. I mean, I guess the only plan I would have is it'd be great if it could hang again someday somewhere, but I don't have the space for it, and it's, you know, because it's tied to a time frame, I don't think it has application to any kind of exhibit situation out there. I guess down the road I'd hope that my girls would want it. Maybe they'll each take a month or two, you know, or share it back and forth.
So tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Current or past? Or whatever.
Whatever.
I came to it from, I was trained at my college degree is in visual design, and I worked in educational publishing as a book designer. And then I also did artist books and paper making. And I came to the quilting thinking that I wanted to do more stitching with my paper. And then went off on a bit of a right turn into quilting and learning how to work with the fabrics and stuff. And from there, it continues to evolve, I would say. I learned how to do much more my own work, and from that my interests sort of segued again into I really love making the fabric, and I do a lot of art cloth, one of a kind pieces, and I love all the techniques and what you can do, and that has become then much more sculptural work. That's where it is now, is shaping fabric after I've done things to it back into more physical forms again. And I figure I'm just probably making a journey back and around, and I'll end up back at painting and paper making again someday. But that's okay, because I think it all does. Each thing influences the other.
Tell me about your studio. Describe it.
My studio is in the walkout basement of my home. I have a sewing room toward one end that has big windows looking out into west-facing yard. And then I have my office area, which I would love, now that I'm not really consulting in the business world anymore, to expand other things into that. Just what am I going to do with the stuff that's there? I haven't figured out. And then I have a wet studio area. It's really just an unfinished part of the basement with a big 4x8 foot table with drawers for storage and lots of shelves. And then the one great thing I did when I built this house is they had a washer and dryer in the back hallway upstairs by the garage. And I said, I'm never carrying those 5-gallon buckets of dye through my house again. So I put the washer and dryer right down there in the studio. It's made all big, huge difference to me to just, you know, have it right there. So it's not huge. I'd like more flat space so I could work on two things at a time, but it's great to have what I have.
So whose works are you drawn to and why?
I have, and a lot of them know this already, a great affinity for Japanese arts and crafts. Particularly anything that's in what they call the Boro pieces or wabi-sabi kinds of things. I'm drawn to that aesthetic in terms of the reuse, the seeing that wear and tear and what happens enters into the cloth and that you find ways to incorporate your life into it.
Tell me why belonging to the guild is important.
Oh, because we get to share things with one another. We get to take these wonderful workshops. I mean, 2 years ago we had as many of the about half the teachers that were teaching at the Surface Design Association conference were teachers that we had here. So we have an opportunity to study with really fine people right here. And that's a wonderful thing. And then we have this opportunity to participate in the Fine Art of Fiber, and which is great.
What do you think makes a quilt artistically powerful?
Let's come back to that one. I want to think about that one a little.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
One is to just do it. Don't be afraid to go down and just play with things, because I find that mostly the things that don't work, that are mistakes on their first try or second or third try, often lead to ideas that are much better, more powerful ideas down the road. And I don't try to plan too much in my head about what is that final thing going to be, because it just becomes too overwhelming. Just do something that you can wrap your head around for today, and then next tomorrow do it again, or take it another step further.
Why is quilt making important to you?
It feeds me. I think if it wasn't quilting, it would be, is it the surface design? If it wasn't that, it'd be the paper making. But all of that, it's the making of something, of taking ideas and making something with them. For me, it's much more about the process than the result. By the time I finish a piece and it goes off somewhere, I'm pretty much disinterested in it at that point, because it's the ideas that have come out of that have moved me somewhere else. So that, I think it's a vehicle.
Do you work on more than one thing at a time?
Yeah, I do, because I think it gives you time to let it gestate and maybe go in another direction. So I usually have things, some things are just, you know, piles. Others are part way, and some are maybe finished, getting to the finished point. I also find physically that works for me much better these days, because I can't sew anymore for hour upon hour. I need to go and do something else.
Is there any aspects of quilt making that you don't enjoy?
Sewing. I know it sounds like why are you doing this? Because it does complete it, but it's the part that I do enjoy the least, as opposed to the creation of the idea, the creation of the cloth, the assembly of it all. By the time I get to sewing, I'd love to have someone else who would just, you know, be able to mind meld with me in their hands and make it go happen.
How do you want to be remembered?
Well, there's one I've never given a thought to. That's really hard to answer. I mean, I don't know where I'm going from here, but if I had to say that in terms of the current, where I am in my work now, it would be for the series that are based on reflections, because I think they kind of incorporate for me the the making of the cloth, that Japanese aesthetic, the idea that what the mind sees, and in the same way that what the surface of the water is, that you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. So I guess in terms of those might be the pieces of work that may not be the answer I'd give you if I had to think about this for 15, 20 minutes, but right now, in front of 100 people who are right there.
Is there anything else that you would like to add before we conclude?
No. I would say I'll put the 2007 version of these out on the table over there.
So how are the 2007 pieces different?
Well, they're different in it's still as a daily exercise. At the time, the format's very different, number one, in that there's a book for each month with a sheet for each page. And, well, again, it was the idea of capturing the dailiness of it, the discipline of actually sitting down and making a piece each day. This time I used photography because I love to be out there with my camera. Each of them does incorporate now something said about that day. And I chose the format, the long skinny format, because it's the Japanese, I want to say scroll, but, you know, hanging kind of shape. Also, because it is such a long, skinny shape, it forces you to think about the imagery differently than if it was a nice, neat, golden rectangle. And I wanted to really learn Photoshop. And I needed a reason to do it. And I really did learn Photoshop. Again, I did not know this would be the format that these would turn out. I was just making a sheet per day and printing them out. So there's 12 books with X number of pages each, and when they're for display purposes, they can fan out all around, and you can see all 31 pages in a circle. So you'd have the 12 circles, and again, it's sort of the hyacinth back then to the ring again, but in a totally different way. And this project got me going again in the studio. I did lots of new work last year. I don't think I'd recommend doing something that intensive every year because it takes, if you want to make it into a finished thing, it takes a fair amount of time and effort. But the idea of just going down and doing something every day, I think is perfectly doable. I took a class with Elizabeth Bush and we were doing things on an index card, and that's how she starts every day of work. She says, if I can't do anything else, I go down and I do start with the index cards, and the next thing is I'm working. And that's what I think really matters, and the whole thing is doing the work.
Do you plan to do another year?
Maybe in 2017. I started, you know, I thought, well, this is it really, I could just keep doing this, and I thought I'd do postcards, like each week be a theme and do a set of postcards, then I'd have them for various purposes. And it didn't work for me. I did like 5 months and I was like, oh God. Because it was tied to via my own direction, pick a theme for that week and do it. And I was trying to go back through all these photos I had and sort of force it. And that didn't work. It has to do more with that whole dailiness thing, I guess, for me. Could be a whole different, people could choose a whole other approach. It just is that doing the work thing. Or starting to work, maybe is a better term.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
So much to choose from out there. So much to see visually. think it's sometimes hard just to narrow your focus enough because you want to try this and you want to try that and you want to do this over here. And if I find for me that if I start doing that, you know, like wanting to take every workshop and stuff, I can get very scattered and don't accomplish anything. So I don't know if that's true for other people, but I think that's a challenge, that there's just so much out there. I guess the second challenge on a more of a professional level is that that textiles as a whole, I think, have come a long way, but I don't think they're still viewed as relevant or as good an art as painting and other kinds of things, which I think is still a big hurdle to overcome.
Well, I want to thank you for doing this interview with me, and we're now going to conclude, and it is 11:06.